this morning. And, you know, remembering is a powerful principle. And remembering the right things is something that can inspire us. It is something that can bring us strength. Remembering the right things can really help us in the future in so many ways. If we don't know our past and remember certain things from our past, we will not deal with the future in a way in which perhaps we should. Amen? And so we want to talk a little bit this morning about remembering. And on the other hand, concerning that, if we are remembering the wrong things. How many of you know the Apostle Paul one time, Philippians chapter 2? He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things that are before me, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so there are certain things that are better left forgotten, that are better left back there, but there are other things to remember that will inspire us. The things we need to forget are the things that will hold us back. The things we need to forget are the things that will condemn us or keep us from our future. If we are past possessed in a negative way, we will not be future focused. But thank God, there is the right things to remember. And we're going to look throughout the Word of God a little bit today. Not at everything, but at many things that the Bible tells us that we are to remember as believers in order so that we might be victorious in life. Our memory is a gift from God. Would you agree with that? Amen. And there is such a power in memory, in remembering, commemorating the right things in our lives that will inspire, as I said, and bring us strength and hope, really, into our lives. Let's begin. If you don't have a set of notes, I apologize for that. If you lift your hand up, we'll make sure you get a set of notes. Anybody miss a set of notes here this morning? All right, then we're going to just begin by reading our introduction. We're going to launch off right from there. In fact, before we do, let's pray and ask God to help us, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your tremendous word. We thank you for your word that as we continue in it, we know the truth. And the truth makes us free. And Father God, as we open up the Word of God today and as we glean precious truth from your word today, I pray, Father God, that our minds will be renovated. Our minds will be renewed. Our minds will begin to shift from perhaps depression to encouragement. Our minds will begin to shift from anything like fear to faith or whatever the case may be, because your word contains power to transform our minds. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who opens up the eyes of our understanding today and helps us see like we've never seen before. We depend totally upon him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's read our introduction in our notes, if you don't mind. It reads this way. This weekend is referred to, as we all well know, Memorial Day weekend. It's a time to set aside, remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice of death for the benefit of our country. It's also a time to recognize those who, though they did not die, gave a portion of their lives in service of our country. We are free as a nation today because of those who fought to obtain it and those who fought to keep it. This morning, I want to share with you some things about the importance of remembering. And as I share the things that I'm going to read in a minute, but I stopped reading. I know you're looking, thinking, well, where's he reading now? All right, sorry about that. But, you know, it's so important that we understand even why do we do a commemoration like Memorial Day? Why do we remember this? What is the use of that? It's so important. Everything really, or many of the things that I share with you pertaining to things to remember in the Word of God will apply to other things that we are to commemorate. You know, it's interesting. Why do we want so much photographs of our loved ones? Why do we find people, for example, and my heart breaks for these people in Joplin, Missouri, or other parts of our nation, or even in Japan with the earthquake and all the things that went on there. Why do we find people, scrounging through the rubble and prizing and treasuring anything that triggers a memory of a loved one or something else, whether it's a picture or a piece of jewelry or whatever it might be, anything that reminds them? Why? Because there's something innate in every human being that needs to remember. Remember those that they've loved that have passed on perhaps. Or to remember fond things, things that have happened in life that have been a blessing to them. There's something we have it within us. Our nature is to want to retain these things and to hold on to them. Because in some cases it takes us back to a better time. In some cases it takes us back to a time where perhaps we experienced more joy or whatever the case may be. There's a variety of reasons why. But the point is this, that God made us that way. He made us to desire to hold on to the things worth remembering. He made us that way, and there's a reason for that, and maybe more than what we can imagine, more than I would ever know. But yet, there's something about it. And part of the things that we share today, maybe all, will apply to other areas of life other than just the things we're to remember that the Bible tells us to remember. The last sentence here in your introduction reads this way: the Bible shows us many things that the people of God are to remember, because remembering is a powerful principle to staying strong and continuing on. Let's start off just by defining remembering. Is everybody doing all right this morning? And there's nothing revolutionary, nothing revelatory about these definitions of remembering, but yet it's necessary, I think, in the context of it, to remind us what it means to remember and apply these things to our lives and see it in the context. But notice from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, two definitions. Number one, to bring to mind or to think of again. To think of again has the idea to bring it up again into our minds. To think of again, and then also, number two, to keep in mind for attention or consideration. That, in essence, is what we're doing with this Memorial Day, this commemoration. We're bringing it up. We're paying attention to something that perhaps we don't pay attention to that extent any other time of the year and other things like that. I mean, we commemorate the birth of our Lord Jesus at Christmas time, don't we? It's not that we don't think about it other times, but we bring it up again. We think about it again. We put it in the forefront of our minds once again, right? And that's a good thing. Those things that are worth remembering, those things that are good to remember, it's a good thing. It's God ordained that we remember those kinds of things. And then lastly, number three, many times when this is used, the word remembering or remembrance, whichever word, form of that word you want to mention with this, many times when this is used in the Bible, it means to act on what is remembered. To act on what is remembered, or as we go on in these notes, to let the remembrance shape our conduct. And so to let the remembrance shape our conduct. Are you hearing me on that, right? And so when it comes to us remembering certain things from the Word of God, it's not just for the sake of remembering, but also to allow that remembering to change the way we're acting or to affect the way we're acting in order to shape our conduct in a particular way. And remembering the right things or the wrong things will have an effect of shaping our conduct to a certain extent. Will they not? If you're remembering the wrong things, how many of you know, and I think you've already gathered this, perhaps is no big, again, revelation to you, but if you're thinking the wrong things, how many of you know that your actions or your behavior, your conduct may be that, a kind of down and out, discouraged, despondent, whatever the case may be? Why? Because you're remembering the wrong things, right? But on the other hand, if you're remembering the right things, if you're remembering the things God's done in your life, if you're remembering things, even things like the commemoration of victories past and what have you, how many of you know that when you remember the heroic works of others, whether they're heroic works of the Bible or heroic works of those throughout our history, how many of you would agree that that helps to shape us? That helps to shape us to conduct in a heroic way when needed, wouldn't you say? That as we rehearse these things, these acts of heroism, whatever way and whatever means by which we rehearse them, they can inspire us and they come up back to our remembrance when we have a need to be heroic or to be strong or to be full of faith or whatever you want to put in there. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so remembering is a powerful thing when it's done. It's powerful both ways, in a positive or a negative. When it's done in the positive way, praise God for it. God gave that ability to us. Amen? Amen. And so much has to do with really how you're thinking. I don't know why I keep thinking of this individual, but I'm going to bring him up. And I had no plan on this at all. But you know, as many of you do anyway, that I like old Westerns. All right? I like old Westerns. I can't help it. Not all of them. Some of them. Some actors I like better than others. Some I don't even watch them because they're more dark. You know, the dark Westerns. I don't get into the Italian-made Westerns usually and things like that. But nevertheless, I like old Westerns as a rule. And I'm going to mention an actor to you that the great majority of you may have never heard of because you're too young to remember, but I'm going to cheer on those of you that do remember. And that actor is a fellow by the name of Audie Murphy. How many of you remember Audie Murphy? Anybody at all? Amen. Well, we got a few. Thank you, Andy. All right. Claps from behind. All right. Audie Murphy. Well, if you know anything about Audie Murphy, and I can't tell you I know a lot about Audie Murphy, but he did a lot of Westerns probably back in the early 50s or what have you. And he was just a small fella, wasn't he? If you remember him, he was kind of a small guy and everything else. But yet he was he did a halfway decent job acting, even though that was not necessarily what his main calling in life was. But Audie Murphy was a small guy. But I always enjoy watching Audie Murphy play a part in the movies because whenever he played a part, he was in military ones as well. Whenever he did and he became a hero, I thought to myself, you know what? I love it when he plays a heroic part because I know he's not just acting. I know his real life was that of heroism because he is known as being the most decorated soldier of World War II. And so when you see him doing those things, there's something about it to me that I saw him doing those things, but realized, you know what? He is what he's portraying in terms of being heroic, in terms of all these things, because I'll tell you, that is quite a statement. Just a little guy. A little guy compared to so many others, but yet the most decorated soldier of World War II. How many of you hear what I'm saying to you? Why was he the most decorated soldier of World War II? One of the reasons, and I'm sure I would never know all the reasons, because, again, I don't know a great deal about him, but I do know this, that the reason why is because he might have been small on the outside, but he was big on the inside. He was big on the inside. Amen. He built upon things that had happened in his life. I'm sure of it. Things that had happened that had built within him a sense of meaning, built within him a sense of purpose, memories that he had that brought him strength and purpose in his life and all those things. Because it doesn't matter so much your stature on the outside. What matters the most is your stature on the inside. Is everybody doing all right today? And so I know I lost many of you with Audie Murphy, but nevertheless, just a powerful, I think, illustration of the necessity of being big on the inside. And much of that has to do with our memory. Much of that has to do with how we remember things and what we choose to focus on in our lives. Amen? Because all of us have things in our past that if we allow ourselves to remember those and to bring them up and think on them too much, how many of you know we could all want to quit, give up, throw in the towel and say, I'm not going on. Isn't that right? You think of failures that you may have committed, things that you feel like you made a fool out of yourself, or whatever the case may be. If you allow yourself to bring those things to the forefront of your memory long enough, you'd be apt to say, you know what? I made a fool of myself around here. I'm moving somewhere else. I'm changing my job. I'm changing whatever. I'm changing my spouse. I'm changing my everything because I made a fool out of myself so many times. I'm going to know if you let those thoughts just dominate your thinking, you're going to make the wrong decisions in life. We've all made fools out of ourselves. You try speaking in front of people for almost 20 years, or more really, including other times and not being a pastor. You try speaking in front of people for more than 20, 25 years and think you don't make a fool out of yourself. I've made a fool out of myself so many times, I think I put Peter to shame. I mean, I probably did better than he did. Are you hearing what I'm saying as far as that goes? But you know what? If we let that stop us, we're just never going to accomplish anything. Amen? No, we keep moving on. Our memories, what we choose to remember. I encourage you today, if you don't get anything else out of today, I want to encourage you to remember what God has done in your life. And we'll look at some of those things, but remember who He says you are. Remember, the things that bring you strength, the things that inspire you. Remember those things. And as you remember those things, I'll tell you, you'll have the energy, you'll have the motivation to just keep on keeping on. Amen? I hope this message is better than you look, but praise God. Amen. All right. And not that you don't look good. I'm talking about your response. All right. You look good. Amen. All right. Let's go on to Roman numeral number 3. Number 1, things about God remembering. God remembers. God remembers. Of course He does. He's all knowing. Amen. But there's something about this term, this word applied to God where it says God remembers. It says in number 1, God always remembers His covenants. He always remembers His covenant. Now, one of the things about God now, when it talks about God remembering something, for example, what comes to mind so often, if you remember this, it talks about in the book of Genesis one day, after Hagar and Sarah had a spat, two women in the same home sometimes is dangerous. And now I'm on dangerous ground now, aren't I? Amen. But in any case, Hagar and Sarah had a spat and whatever, and Hagar ran off with Ishmael because Abraham had to cast out the bondwoman and her son, right? You know the story, many of you do. And then it says that God remembered Hagar. Now, does that mean that God forgot? That doesn't mean God forgot, but whenever it mentions that pertaining to God, especially in the Old Testament, it says it quite a few times, it means not that he forgot and now all of a sudden he remembers. Something jogged his memory. I mean, no, God doesn't have his memory jogged. He doesn't need that. Isn't that right? What it means when it says God remembered so-and-so, it means that now God chose that this is the time to act. This is the time to behave in a certain way toward that individual, right? And so when he said God remembered Hagar, it was time for him to speak to her, time to minister to her, time to act on her behalf. Not that he had forgotten, but when he remembered, it meant it's time. Remember, as I mentioned in our definition, the third one, the idea of remembering so often has to do to also put into action that which you now have remembered, right? All right, and so God remembers his covenant. Look up at the big screen if you don't mind. A couple of frames here, Luke chapter 1. This is Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, prophesying, and he says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Of course, this is speaking of the Messiah. This is speaking of Jesus in the womb of Mary at this time, and Zechariah prophesies. And he says that he also is prophesying about his son who would be a light to show forth that one. "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Going on, "to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Notice now the top of that frame, "to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." In other words, God remembers. And in this particular case, he's saying he remembered his holy covenant. Zechariah prophesied by the Spirit of God. He remembered, and because of that remembering, now he was acting. Or the acting was significant in the sense that when it says he remembered, he never forgot. But now it's time to act. The Messiah is coming to set us free from our enemies and from those that hate us. You follow what I'm saying? God always remembers his covenant. He's in covenant with you as well. He never forgets. All right, going on with this. Number two, God always remembers his promises, doesn't he? God always remembers his promises. We're not going to elaborate on that. You can look up those scriptures if you'd like to. But God always remembers his promises. Number three, God always remembers his people. God always remembers his people. He never forgets about you. He always remembers you. God hasn't forgotten. Amen? God hasn't forgotten. Look at Isaiah 49 up here, verses 15 and 16. This applies to you and me as believers as well. It says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste, your destroyers, and those who laid you waste shall go away from you." Notice now. Now, this applies to you and me. Now, in the context, he's speaking to Zion, which, of course, are the Jews. But you know, if you've studied with us long enough, Hebrews 12 says for the church, or concerning the church, that the church has come unto Mount Zion, right? And so he's speaking to you. It applies to you and I in the church. Notice what it says about you. First of all, you know what? Mothers may forget their young. They may forget their daughters and sons. But he says, "I will never forget you." No matter who you are, you put your name in there. Now notice what he says in order to give an illustration of remembering. Now he doesn't literally do this, but notice what he says. "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Well, you know what? I know some of you probably. You don't have a notebook sometimes, so you take your pen, you write little notes on your hand. Little things to remind you, to jog your memory, right? I know I used to tell my daughter, I hope she doesn't do it anymore, but you know, stop writing on your hand. Stop writing on your hand. Now she's got Bible for it. She can write on her hand, I guess, because God does. Oh, Lord, help me. This is an expression, amen, to show you, you know what, you're written on the palm of my hand, God says. In other words, I'm not going to forget you. You're right before my face. I remember, and in that remembrance, I have mercy, amen? Amen. Say, God does not forget me. It's so important that we remember that. Keep that in our mind. If there's anything to keep in your mind, God has not forgotten you. You may feel forgotten. You may feel forsaken sometimes. You may feel like he's a long way off, but he's not a long way off. You need to stir up your memory and begin to remember all the things God's brought you through and begin to remember that he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. No matter what you go through, he is with you, and he's not going to let you drop. If you stay in faith and keep trusting him, he will get you through no matter what the situation is. Amen? He'll get you through. He's not going to leave you. Amen? Stand on the promises of God. Stand on the promises of God. It says again, number three, concerning God, and these are only a few things. God always remembers his people. He always remembers you. Now, Roman numeral number four, we come to the next thing. What are we to remember? These are some of the things the Bible has to say that we are to remember. These are not all the things. These are some of the things that we're going to look at. Just to remind us, perhaps. Remind. Amen. Bring to our remembrance again. But it's so important that we know this. The first one, and the rest of these that we follow after this number one, the rest of these go with number one. But we start with this, and that is this. Remember, we are number one. Believers are to remember God. Now, when we talk about remembering God, we're talking about bringing him back up to the forefront of our minds. We're talking about replacing thoughts of God with whatever thoughts you might be having that are contrary to him or to his word. We need to get within our minds a God and a God perspective and a God consciousness instead of a sin consciousness or a failure consciousness or a despondency consciousness. We need to, in the midst of it all, remember God. It sounds so much like other scriptures, and some of you have heard me mention these before. For example, Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about all the bad news, first of all. It talks about how you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were without God. It talks about how we walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We were by nature the children of wrath, or the children do the wrath of God, and all those variety of things. But after it talks about our state before we knew Christ, then it comes out in verse 4 and says, but God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he loved us, amen, has made us alive together with him. That's with Christ, amen. And so the whole thing with that is, yeah, there's some things that are negative, some things that are not going well, but I want you to know, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what you're going through, you need to remember God. And remember, there's a lot of but gods that bring in him and bring in his intervening into your life. You know, this is where that fight of the good fight of faith comes in, isn't it? Because no matter what you're going through, I know sometimes you can feel alone. You can feel like God has left you. I know sometimes you can feel like you're going to lose. You're going to bottom out, whatever the case may be. But you know what? The worst thing you can do is get your focus on the things that are going wrong and get your focus off of God. You begin to get your focus back on him and remember your God. And as you remember him, faith rises in your heart. As faith rises in your heart, it's by faith that you overcome. Amen. I just want to encourage you with that. And you know what? I've had opportunity. Don't think that because I'm a pastor, you know, God doesn't have me. I'm not a favorite. You're all favorite. We're all his favorites, right? We all go through struggles. We all go through things. Amen. I'll tell you, this past week, I don't know what I did. I thought maybe I got myself a hernia. And man, I don't know. I don't even remember lifting anything. I do remember a couple of things that I lifted. And man, I'm going through this, you know, and trying to fake it and fake it, pretend that nothing about me. Because, you know, you don't tell your wife sometimes. You know. I got to just be honest with you. Because you tell your wife, and then you sometimes get scolded. I told you not to do that. You know, all that kind of stuff. You understand? How many of you fellas know what I'm talking about? All right. The rest of you don't want to admit it. All right. But anyway, you know, I just prayed, you know. I said, I don't think there's anything wrong. And I just praise in Jesus' name. It's got to go and everything. And man, praise God. After 4 or 5 days, started feeling normal again and whatever. But I don't know why I'm going there, but it was good anyway. Amen. The point is, we all go through things. That's my point. We all go through struggles. But thank God there's always the but God. There's remembering God. Amen? I want you to turn with me to the reference that is given here. The reference is Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you don't mind. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Are you getting anything out of this morning? Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let's look at beginning with verse 17. Is that all right? Everybody with me? Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 17. This is in the middle of a sentence, sort of, but we don't have time to go through it all. I encourage you to read it on your own, though. Verse 17, it says, "Then you say in your heart," God is, through Moses, kind of rebuking the people of Israel. "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." Verse 18 says, "And you shall remember." Everybody say, remember. All right, now here's a command to remember. Applies to you and me as well. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." And so He says, remember, always remember then, that it's God who gives you power to prosper. It's God who gives you power to have provision in your life, right? And so in remembering God, remember all the things really we're going to mention have to do with remembering God. But notice letter A underneath number one in your notes. Remember that He is their source, our source of provision. We need to always keep that in mind. That's one reason why it's always good to ask the blessing on the food you're about to eat. We need to ask God. I'll tell you, when I pray and ask the blessing on the food, I always thank God, "Father, I'm so grateful that You provided this food for this family." I don't know about you, I remember when I was a missionary, I remember not having much food. I remember having to, you know, scrounge a little bit. I remember, you know, not being very healthy. I was skinny then. I know that's hard to believe, but I was skinny then. All right? And I just am so grateful. And when I pray, I say, "Father, I'm so grateful. Thank You for providing. He is our provider." And that's keeping Him in the forefront. Amen? And then letter B under that, believers are to remember God. Letter B, remember Him when your soul is cast down. I believe we have the slide for that, if I'm not mistaken. The next one, Psalm 42, 5 and 6. Notice, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember You." Amen. And so the psalmist is saying, really, by inspiration of God, what is one of the remedies if your soul is cast down? What's that mean? Means you're down and out. Means you're discouraged. Means you're depressed. What is one of the remedies? "I will remember You, God. I will remember what You have done for me. I will remember, I will get out of my mind the things that I've got in the forefront of my mind now that is causing me to be cast down. I'm going to stop thinking about thoughts that cast me down, and I'm going to start thinking about You, God, who lifts me up." I'll tell you, this has great benefit. This has great benefit in everyday life, and it has great benefit if you're going to live a long life. I'll tell you right now. People that get down and out and are depressed all the time and mentally just whatever, I'll tell you, they a lot of times don't live nearly as long. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. All right, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, will I remember You. Let's go on in our notes now. The next thing, number two. What are we to remember? Number two, believers are to remember God's acts in the past. We are to remember the acts of God in the past. Look up on the big screen, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 5 says this, God speaking to Israel, but applying it to you and I. "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Now, our emphasis is not about the Sabbath day. How many of you know Jesus is our Sabbath? Amen. So He's the fulfillment of that Sabbath. But the point is this, that you were a slave in your Egypt as well. And we are to remember, I believe really from Scripture, that many times we need to remember what God has done for us. Remember the bondage that you came out of. Remember the sin. Remember the life that you came out of. Remember where you came from. Not to bring you down or condemn you or anything like that, but to remember what God has done for your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? I mean, many of you, perhaps not all if you were younger, but many of you remember not knowing God, not knowing Christ. And you remember a life before that. I remember as a child, a life being brought up where my parents didn't go to church and how there was situations there and what have you. I remember certain things I don't want to bring out because I don't know, they might listen to this online. Are you listening, Mom and Dad? I hope not. But anyway, they'll get that now. My father, I don't even think he knows how to turn on the computer, but my mother does. But anyway, but the whole point is this. I remember things, and I was saved as a kid, 12 years old, all right? And I remember things. That doesn't make life perfect even after that necessarily, right? But the whole point is, remember what God brought you out of. Remember the sin, remember the bondage, remember the life or whatever. How many of you know as you remember that, it's a time for rejoicing, amen? It's not a time to get all discouraged about the life he brought you out. No, the point is to remember so that you'll rejoice. And be grateful. How many of you know gratefulness comes forth out of remembering then, amen? And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the more we remember these kinds of things, the more grateful we are in life. And it's so important we live a life of gratitude, amen? All right, and so believers ought to remember God's acts in the past. I want you to turn with me if you don't mind. Everybody doing good? Ephesians chapter 2, another passage that's given in your notes there. Let's look at that real quickly, Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll move along in this pretty quickly after that. Ephesians chapter 2. And begin with verse 11. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 11. Notice what Paul says to the Ephesian believers applies to you and me as well. Notice, therefore remember. There's that word again, remember. Everybody say remember. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. He's saying those of you that are non-Jews, and he's speaking, of course, to Ephesian believers that were non-Jews. He says that at that time, notice verse 12, you were without Christ. He's saying remember. Remember at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Now he's telling those Ephesian believers, you remember. But then he says, but now. Aren't you glad again for these buts? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so, yeah, remember where he brought you from, but don't forget where he brought you to. You were afar off, but now he's brought you near. Amen? And you may not feel near, but I want to submit to you that you can get nearer and nearer to him in your relationship with him. You can get closer and closer to God as you press in, as you spend time in his word. You know, a lot of times, it's kind of like this illustration. How many of you remember this? And then we'll move on from here. And you can turn to Psalm 103 while I'm talking if you'd like to, just to speed this up, because I know it's Memorial Day weekend. You guys want to go home, have hot dogs, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, all that good stuff, all that kind of thing. But it's kind of like that husband and wife, you know. And, you know, the husband and wife are driving down the road, and it's been a long time since I shared this illustration, but it's a good one. It applies here, too. They're driving down the road, and the wife looks over at her husband who's driving with kind of a longing look. And she says to her husband who's driving with that long look, you know, that longing look, she says, how come we don't sit together and close to each other anymore when we're driving? The husband who's driving the truck looks over at her, and he says to her, I haven't moved. I haven't moved. What's the point? The point is sometimes we feel far from God. It's kind of like God's driving that pickup truck, and he'd say to us if he'd get through to us, I haven't moved. I mean, God doesn't move. If we feel like he's far away, he hasn't changed. He said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so if you feel far from him, could it be you did some moving? Could it be you got a little separate? Could it be you've been not so in tune and praying and in his word and worshiping God? Is it possible that you kind of skipped over or slid over to the other side of the truck? God doesn't move when it comes to these things. Amen? But sometimes we do. Now notice now, Psalm 103 is where we want to go through. Psalm 103. And if you look back at your notes, first of all, let's look at some things with this, all right? Notice again that in number two, believers are to remember God's acts in the past. We're talking about things that we are to remember. Number three, believers are to remember God's wrath. Believers are to remember God's wrath. Now, we're not going to turn to these, but I encourage you to read those. And really, in 2 Peter 3, it's talking about, and remember now, there is the goodness and the severity of God. Amen? But when it's talking about God's wrath in this particular text, first of all, in 2 Peter, he's talking about remember the wrath of God that's coming upon the unsaved. And in the midst of that time period, remember, there's going to be a whole bunch of mocking, a whole lot of things that will come against you in the midst of the last days of that time, prior to the ultimate wrath of God on the earth. He warns about that. And remembering that and remembering deception and remembering all those things that are going to surround that ultimate outpouring of his wrath that you and I as believers do not have to have. Amen? But then an interesting verse, and we won't turn there, but Revelation 2:5. It talks about those that are lukewarm, the church of Laodicea. And this is a beauty. You ought to go back there and read it sometime. But he's talking to the church. And so you and I are a church, right? We are the church, the people, right? And so there's application there. He's rebuking them because they got lukewarm. Lukewarm. And he says, because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'm going to spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. Now, what's he saying? Is he saying I'm going to cast you away and you're not going to be a believer anymore or saved anymore or my child anymore? He's not saying that. He's saying that if you're lukewarm, man, he's disappointed and you don't taste good anymore. And then he gives a little bit of warning in all of that. And so what's he say? He says, repent, remember the works that you first did and all these various things. So, you left your first love. Have you left your first love? See, it says left your first love. Doesn't say they lost. How many of you know you can't lose it, but you can leave it. If you could just lose it, then you could say, well, it wasn't my fault. I lost it. It's kind of like my wife. I'm going to give her away. Oh, I'm going to be in so much trouble. But you know what? If you laugh and enjoy it, it's going to be worth it all. All right? Everybody all right with that? She's looking all over the place for some money that she took out of the bank. Actually, I took it. And I was at the window, and I handed it to her. I take it from the window like a good, obedient husband. Take the money, and I hand it to her. All right? For days, she's looking for this money. What I do with that money? I said, I don't know. But you know what? I'm not giving it to you again, ever again, ever again. And so she says, I've looked everywhere. I looked in the van. She looked in the van. We looked under things. We looked places where you would never think. How many of you know we like Sherlock Holmes? And Sherlock Holmes' rule is, basically, if you've looked and done everything rational, logical, then begin to look at the things that aren't so rational anymore, however he puts it. But anyway, we looked everywhere. I said, did you check your wallet? Yes, I checked my wallet. Of course I checked my wallet. I said, let me check your wallet. She said, don't mess up my wallet. I said, I won't mess up your wallet. I'm going to check your wallet. And so I go check her wallet. I open it up first time. I say, well, what's this money right here? She said, what? I said all that to you just to get a little bit of humor also, but also because you know what? You can't lose your first love, but you can leave your first love. You can leave your first love. Amen? And so we need to be watchful of these things. And so be aware. Remember. Now, number four, believers are to remember God's commands, His word, and His promises. We're to remember, again, we're to remember God. We're to remember in that. We're to remember His provision. We're to remember that if we're cast down, remember Him. He'll lift us up. We're to remember God's acts of the past and what He's done for us. We're to remember God's wrath. Number four, we are to remember God's commands, His word, and His promises. Notice Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms. You thought I forgot about Psalm 103, didn't you? Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1. Blessed is the Lord. Oh, my soul, or bless the Lord, rather. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not. Would you agree with me that forget not, same as remember? All right, forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We need to remember. Remember all His benefits. And you know, one way to remember is by precipitating the remembering by beginning to bless the Lord. Did you know if you're blessing the Lord, a form of praise, if you will, as you begin to praise the Lord in the midst of your trials, I believe the Lord will remind you of all of His benefits. He'll remind you that you've been forgiven. Remind you that He heals all your disease. Remind you that He redeems your life from destruction. Amen? As you bless the Lord, you reach out and you bless the Lord. Now, if you're not blessing the Lord, in case, if instead you're speaking negativity, you're speaking down, and I'm not talking about the balance where you need to share with others your needs so that you can be prayed for or something like that. But you understand, if your pattern is that of not blessing God, if your pattern is that of saying, why me, what for, all these various things. How many of you know you don't position yourself to remember the benefits and the blessings and the promises of God? Amen? And so praise God. Let's move on so that we don't run out of time here. All right, let's go on to the next page and wrap this up. Number five, what are we to remember? Believers are to remember their responsibilities towards one another. How many of you know that as believers, we are interconnected, we are networked together, amen? We are supposed to be like family, aren't we? And so we're to remember our responsibilities toward one another. Some of the things mentioned scripture-wise are things like we're to remember the poor, those that don't have enough. We're to remember them, whether it be people in extreme cases like Joplin, or whether it be helping the city mission, or whether it be, as we often do, families that come here or people that come here with need, and we try to help them and bless them and what have you. But we're to remember those in need. That's part of it. We're to remember those that are in jail, the scripture says, because in that day, many of the believers were cast in jail simply because they wouldn't stop preaching, or they were believers, right? And so we're to remember them. We're to remember, there's other scriptures where we can talk about, remember to love one another, remember to comfort one another, remember to exhort one another, right? In Hebrews 2, if we had time, I was going to go there, but we won't. Hebrews 13, rather, and verses 2 and 3, it talks about, do not be forgetful to entertain strangers. That means remember to entertain strangers. In other words, remember to be hospitable. Then it goes on and it says, for some have entertained angels unawares. Isn't that an amazing verse? But then it goes on and it talks about remembering to do good and things such as this. And so our responsibility to other believers is so imperative. Number 6, believers are to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're to remember that obviously all the time. But is that not really the essence of our communion? The essence of our Lord's table as we partake together. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He wants that in the forefront of our mind. And again, all of these things are not just to think about, but because we're thinking about it, it is doing something affecting our conduct in life. It's affecting our actions. Amen. All of these things will affect our actions. Now, wrapping it up, Roman numeral number 5, the power of remembering. First of all, we know, in number 1, the Holy Spirit helps believers to remember Jesus and His words. In John 14:26, most of us know this verse of Scripture. Jesus said this. He said, but I will send you another comforter, and He shall abide with you forever, and He shall bring these things to your remembrance and teach you all things, whatever I have said. Amen? Thank God for the Holy Spirit who brings things to our remembrance, the things that Jesus has said, the Word of God. The things that He said is the essence of the entire Scripture, really. Amen? He's within the whole book, isn't He? And so the Holy Spirit helps us to remember. And so tap into the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of these things. Number 2, remembering. Again, we're talking about the power of remembrance. Some things we've already mentioned. Remembering brings strength and these kinds of things. But remembering should lead to repentance, shouldn't it? As we remember, for example, what God has done for us. We remember the power of God, the promises of God, the blessings of the Lord. It should bring us to repentance if we need to repent. Number 3, remembering, and I alluded to it, or really I think I said it. Remembering should lead to rejoicing. Remembering should lead to rejoicing. A time of worship, a time of praising Him as we remember the right things. As we remember the right things, it'll lead to a time of rejoicing. And that, of course, will lead to many more things. How many of you know as we rejoice in God, there is strengthening that takes place in our lives, right? A part of that could be he that waits upon the Lord shall renew his strength. Waiting upon the Lord includes, not exclusively, but includes praising and worshiping Him. There's a renewing of our strength, we could say. Amen? And so putting that together, as we remember the things He's done, as we remember our God, as we remember those things mentioned, then there ought to be a rejoicing. And in that rejoicing, there will be a strengthening. And so therefore, remembering will bring strength into our lives. Remembering will bring a renewed faith into our lives. A variety of things. Things not even mentioned in these notes necessarily. Number 4, remembering should lead to understanding. We won't elaborate on that, but you can look at some scriptures in order to help you with that. And then number 5, and we're going to look at this. This is on the big screen, but remembering should produce hope for the future. And that's one of the greatest values of remembering. Hope for the future as we rehearse our victories. You remember David? Remember David when he was facing Goliath? He was about 16, 17 years old. What is the thing that he did to help him even be built up in faith and to convince Saul that he was able to defeat the giant? One thing that he did, he said, you know what? I was tending my father's sheep, and there was a lion that came up in order to take one of my father's sheep, and I took that lion by the beard. Amazing. 1670, took the lion by the beard, and I slew that lion. And there was a bear that tried to rise up and take one of my father's sheep. And I slew that bear. And because I slew that lion and I slew that bear, this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be like one of them. Amen. What's he saying? He said, I remember. I remember God bringing me through victory after victory. I remember. And out of that memory, I have strength and faith to conquer the next giant that comes along my way. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? And I'd like the worship team to come. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for blessing us, Father God, in so many ways. And Father God, by your Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us to remember those things we need to remember and to lay aside the things we need to forget. I pray, Father God, something said today would minister to each and every one, and even this week and the weeks to come, months perhaps, and even years, that these things concerning the power of remembering you and all the facets involved with that, Father God, would change our lives, affect us in a positive way, so that we would do what your word says, and in remembering you, we'd get victory every time. Father God, I thank you for helping us with all of this in Jesus' name. Now, I just felt as I was praying about this service today, I felt like we needed to pray for people in particular, people that perhaps are struggling, battling memories of the past that have held you back. You know, Jesus is the healer of the whole man. And he wants to heal. He wants to set you free. If you're being held back by memories of tragedy, memories of hurts, memories of trauma, whatever the case may be, it may be big, might be little, but you know what? If it's big to you, you may say, well, others wouldn't think that's any big deal. It doesn't matter what others say. If it's big enough to you, if it holds you back to go on into the future, then it's big enough God wants to deal with it and help you and pray. It can never hurt to pray together concerning these things. Amen. And so as the worship team, just whatever's on your heart, begins to pray, the rest of us will worship, and maybe you can help us pray just from where you're sitting. But if you're here and you'd like prayer because of just the fact that you are perhaps even haunted by the wrong memories, let's pray together. Let's believe God together. Let's agree together in faith and believe that you're going to at least be beginning to be set free from those men. And it doesn't mean you're going to forget them. That would take a miracle of God. I don't even know if he does that. But what it does mean is that if you remember them, they don't bother you anymore. They don't wound you anymore. Some people think, well, if I still have the memory, I'm still bound. Not necessarily. You can remember bad things, but if they are still holding you back, that's the problem. I don't know that he ever eradicates things from our minds, but one thing he does do is he helps us to be healed so they don't bother us anymore. So if you're bothered by something of the past in a memory, let's pray for you now. And come on up, let's pray together and agree together if that applies to you in Jesus' name.